Thanks for listening to this Bible study from Calvary Chapel, Whangarei. We hope you're blessed and encouraged as you listen. Today we will be looking at the life of Daniel, and we will be concentrating on Daniel chapters 1 and 2. Today we're going to look at Daniel. And I love Daniel. So if you have a Bible, you can turn to Daniel chapter 2. If you don't have a Bible, slip your hand up real quick. Anyone not have a Bible and you need one? All right, let's get this guy a Bible. There's some on the back table. Yeah, Ruth, you can grab one. Get it to him right there. Anyone else need a Bible? Follow along. Daniel. We're going to be looking at Daniel, the life of Daniel. And I've entitled today's message, Daniel, a Man of Purpose. Now, before we get going, I just want you to use your imagination for just a bit and follow along with me. Imagine you're sitting here in this room, and we're gathered here and studying God's Word, and all of a sudden, a bunch of armed, masked men come in and with guns tell us to get on the ground. And they blindfold us, and they bring a bus, and they load us all in, and they begin to take us somewhere, and we have no idea where we're going. And we hear a bunch of shouting, and pretty soon we realize that we're at the airport in Onarahi. We hear the drone of the plane, and we're being loaded onto it, and we're being flown somewhere that we have no idea. And we decide there's nothing we can do. We're going to try to just get a nice sleep and see what happens. We have no idea what's going to happen. Upon, you know, landing and reconnecting with planet Earth again, we are shuttled off into vans and taken, you know, several hours away and still blindfolded. We have no clue where we're at. And they take the blindfolds off and we see this majestic, amazing palace full of, you know, marble and stone and gold and silver and just ornate. And as we're there, we hear just a different language, one that we're not used to, one that's unfamiliar to us. And imagine that happening and you're only 15 years old. Some of you, anyone here, 15? 14? Maka, you wish in your dreams. Okay. Now, what I've described isn't the latest Hollywood thriller. It could be. It could be, you know, Taken 3. But it's not. It's not. What I'm talking about is, in essence, what has happened to Daniel. Okay? He was a young teenager, and he was taken from his home hundreds of miles away, and led to a palace, led to a place that he didn't know the language, and it was all very foreign to him. And that's where we find ourselves today, and we're going to see what kind of man, and remember, he's 15, what kind of man Daniel is. And I think there's some things that we can learn as we look at Daniel, a man of purpose. Let's pray, and then we'll jump into our study. God, we thank you for this guy, this life that we're going to look at this morning. And Lord, it's just a snapshot, it's highlights, but Lord, we pray that you would just encourage us. Lord, we pray that we could learn what it means to be a man or a woman of purpose. And God, that we could learn just those things that made Daniel great. And Lord, that we would just incorporate those things into our life, Lord. And so just speak to us during this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Like I said, Daniel was a man of purpose, and it's important that we define that word purpose. There's a lot of people who are living today, and they don't have purpose. But if we're saved, if we're believers today, God wants us to live lives that are purposeful. Now, here's just a dictionary definition of purpose. The object toward which one strives or for which something exists, an aim or a goal, a result or effect that is intended or desired, an intention. Another definition is determination, resolution. He was a man of purpose. Another definition says, an anticipated outcome that is intended or that guides your planned actions. Aim or design. I aim to arrive at noon. Saying, I purpose to arrive at this time. Okay, or resolve. He resolved to never drink again. Daniel is going to show us that he lived his life in such a way as to please the Lord at all times. That was his aim. And I'm reminded of this verse, and some of you may know it, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 9. It says this, therefore, this is the Apostle Paul writing, therefore we make it our aim or our purpose or our direction, whether present or absent, to be well-pleasing to him. That's how God wants us to live our lives. And what we're going to see, just in our brief time together, we're going to see young Daniel purpose in his heart. We're going to see Daniel pray to God. We're going to see Daniel give praise to God. We're going to see Daniel prophesy or speak the word of God. And then we're going to see Daniel be promoted by God. So if you're taking notes, they all start with P, okay? He purposes, he prays, he gives praise, he prophesies, and then he's promoted. Let's just jump in and look at Daniel chapter 1, verse 1, and it gives us kind of the setting of this little story, this account. It says, in the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. Now, what we need to understand is this guy with this weird name, Nebuchadnezzar. I may just shorten it to Nebi, just because it's easy it's easier to say. He was the most powerful ruler on planet Earth at the time. Now, the year, it's about 605 BC. And he takes Jerusalem, and there was this guy by the name of Jehoiakim, who was the king. And this king was evil. He was wicked. He was carnal. He didn't follow the ways of God. And there was a prophet by the name of Jeremiah. And God told Jeremiah to go to this king and to bring a message. And he actually, Jeremiah brought it in a scroll. And it was a message for Jehoiakim to read of things that God wanted to say to this king. And when Jehoiakim received the scroll, guess what he did? Okay, he cuts it up. He's like, I don't care about listening to what God has to say. He disregards the message. And so Jeremiah came with another scroll and told him, your kingdom is going to be destroyed, and you and your brethren are going to be carried away to a foreign land, and you are going to reside there for 70 years. And this is going to be God's judgment. And there's several reasons why God decided to judge. They had given themselves over to idolatry. They had not let the ground lie fallow. You're supposed to work the ground for 6 years, and then the seventh year you're supposed to not do anything. And they did that 70 times. And so he's like, you owe me 70 years. And so into captivity, you're going to go. Now, there was several attacks against Jerusalem by the Babylonians. The first is this one that we see here in 605 BC. Now, Nebi doesn't destroy it. Okay, he's going to come in and he's going to take some of the cream of the crop of the youngsters. He's going to take them back to his kingdom and he's going to retrain them, if you will, because he wants the brightest and the best to serve him. And he's going to make these guys that he takes eunuchs so that they won't be distracted. Okay, he's taking teens. Okay, and teens can easily get distracted. Okay? And he just decides to make him eunuchs so that there's no distraction. Now, the 597 BC, there was a second attack, and tons of people were taken away. The last attack came in 586 BC, the third attack. They destroyed the city, killed many people, and basically Jerusalem is lying in a rubbish heap, just destroyed. Look at verse 2. It gives us a little more information. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand with some of the articles of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar to the house of his God. And he brought the articles into the treasure house of his God. That's the background. That's kind of the setting of what's going on. And now we get to see in the next few verses this guy Daniel and what began to set this guy apart from just your average Joe. Pick it up in verse 3. It says, then the king instructed Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs, to bring some of the children of Israel and some of the king's descendants and some of the nobles, young men in whom there was no blemish, but good-looking, gifted in all wisdom, possessing knowledge and quick to understand, who had ability to serve in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the language and literature of the Chaldeans. And the king appointed for them a daily provision of the king's delicacies and of the wine which he drank, and 3 years of training for them, so that at the end of that time they might serve before the king. Now from among those of the sons of Judah were Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. To them, the chief of the eunuchs gave them names. He gave Daniel the name Belteshazzar. To Hananiah, he gave the name Shadrach. To Mishael, he gave the name Meshach. And to Azariah, he gave the name Abednego. So these guys, these young guys, are the cream of the crop. They're good looking. There's no blemish. They're wise. They're smart. And Neb says, I want these guys and I want to retrain them because I want them to serve me in my kingdom. So they are chosen to learn the ways, the culture, the language of the Babylonians. And he wanted the best of the best. Now I want you to notice their names. It's easy to read this and, you know, without a little bit of digging, you just read these names and go, okay, they got a name change. But it's interesting to note what their Hebrew names meant. And then it's interesting to note what their new names were representative of, okay? The name Daniel means God is my judge. That's a great name. God is my judge. Hananiah is another great name. It means beloved of the Lord, or the Lord is gracious. Isn't that a great name? What's your name? Ah, oh, beloved of the Lord, Hananiah. The name Mishael, it's like the name Michael. It means who is as God, or there is none like God. It's another great name. It's my name. Now I'm not sitting here saying I'm one who is like God. That's not what I'm saying. But it's a great name, and that's what he had. Azariah means the Lord is my help. Now, I don't know about you, but when you chose name for your kids, I don't know if you thought about what the meaning of their name meant. For Kristen and I, we were purposeful in the naming of our children. Lucas, it comes from Luke, and it means bringer of light. Bringer of light. Now, Lexi, most of you don't know her real name, okay? Her real full name is Grace Alexandria Montgomery, but we just call her Lexi for short. But Grace, God bless us with the girl, and God was just, he was gracious. And so we named her that. She was a gift. And then we had Noah, and we thought, man, Noah in the Bible, he was a righteous man who lived in a dark time. And so we were, you know what, we're going to name our kid Noah. So there was purpose in naming those, just like I believe these guys' parents had purposely named them these various names. Now, let's look at what their names get changed to. To Daniel, he gave the name Belteshazzar, which is the same as Belshazzar, and the name means Bel's prince or servant. And Bel was one of the Babylonian gods. To Hananiah, whose name meant beloved of the Lord, he gave the name Shadrach, which means this, illumined by Rach. Hey, that was the sun god of the Babylonians. So you can see these guys have names that tie them to the Hebrew God of Israel, and this guy is very purposeful in changing their names to something different. To Mishael, whose name means who is as God, he gave the name Meshach, which means who is as Shaq. And I don't mean Shaquille O'Neal, the basketball player. Okay, his name was changed to who is as Shaq, who was thought to be the goddess Venus or the Babylonian equivalent of the Greek god Venus. And then to Azariah, whose name meant the Lord is my help, they gave the name Abednego, which means servant of Nego, another of the Babylonian gods. Okay, so they're given these Babylonian names, okay, tying them to their pagan gods. And think about Daniel being 15, and he's there, and these other guys, they're young guys. They're taken from their home, and they're being wined and dined, really, if you will. I mean, they're in the palace. They're going to, be far from home, be far from their parents, but they're going to receive the best food, the best education, the best training. They're going to serve this amazingly powerful guy, Nebuchadnezzar, in his kingdom. And sometimes when we get far away from home, and I know this, you know, when you're young, we kind of just go and we do our own thing. We're away from our parents. We're away from our influences, and it's easy to get into trouble. It's easy to get into evil and maybe do things that we wouldn't normally do. There's a place in the United States called Las Vegas. And it's nicknamed Sin City. And if you ever had the chance to go there, you'll understand. Don't. You'll understand why. It's a bizarre, wicked place. Lots of different things to do. They tried to market it as a alternative years ago to Disneyland, Disney World. Disney was, it's kind of the family destination point. Disney World, and they have all these theme parks. And they tried to market Las Vegas as like the new family place. But they couldn't compete with Disney, and so they gave up, and they just said, we're just going to be who we are. And they came up with this phrase, whatever happens in Vegas, stays in Vegas. Not always. Something might happen in Vegas that may affect you back home. And, you know, sometimes we get into mischief when we're away from the environment of home. I remember when I went off to uni. My parents weren't around. I wasn't, you know, around my church. And I was just like, man, I'm just going to go and do what I want to do. And that meant going down to Mexico quite often and ingesting beverages that made me intoxicated and, you know, just a whole bunch of trouble that I shouldn't have been doing. And I'm glad I didn't do it long. God got a hold of, you know, me a couple months into that. But that's what Daniel and his buddies could have done. Hey, you know what? We've been taken from our home. Our parents aren't around. We're here. Man, we're just going to just fit in. We're just going to just, you know, go with the flow. This is what everyone's doing. You want to change my name and tie me to some Babylonian pagan god? All right, I'm cool with that. But we're going to see Daniel, he's going to do something, and he's going to make a decision. Now, like I said, he's being served probably the best food, the best wine. And no doubt the food, the meat that they're being served has been dedicated and offered to a lot of these pagan idols. And so Daniel's going to do something in verse 8 that we need to take hold of. Look at what it says. It lists kind of what's going on, and then there's that word at the beginning of verse 8, but. Okay, this is what's happening. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's delicacies, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the chief of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Daniel purposes in his heart that he's not going to defile his body, that he's not going to defile himself. He's not going to eat the king's meat. He's not going to just go with the flow. Hey, everyone's doing it, so I'm just going to, it's easier just to, you know, float downstream than to be that fish who's swimming against the flow. And so he requests from this prince of the eunuchs that he not defile himself. Now, maybe the meat wasn't kosher. The Old Testament said, don't eat pork. Okay, but that word purpose is what we need to hone in on. That word purpose, it means to make a commitment, to fix or to determine. Daniel basically draws a line in the sand. Now, we're told that they were given these names, but as you go through the book of Daniel, you see that it's not something that Daniel and these guys accept. I mean, maybe other people call him that, but when, you know, Daniel's writing this, he refers back to Daniel, Shadrach. I mean, he, it's not something that they just say, okay, yeah, that's my new name, okay? But he draws a line in the sand. This is a line that I'm not going to cross, no matter what. And my question to us this morning is, where is that line for us? Are we people that have purpose in our heart? I'm going to follow the Lord no matter what. No matter what happens, no matter what news I may get tomorrow, no matter what happens in my life, it's not going to shake me from my commitment to God. And you think of people in the Bible, you think of guys like Joshua, and Joshua is famous. He said, hey, you know, as for me and my house, he goes, you know, others may go after foreign gods, but as for me and my house, you know what? We're going to serve the Lord. It's like, I don't care what everyone else is doing. This is my line, and I'm drawing it. We're going to serve the Lord. And my question is, have you determined that? Have you said, hey, you know what? I don't care what happens. I don't care what the culture says. I don't care what the culture does. I'm not going to bend. I'm not going to cross that line. Maybe some of you guys heard the news this week. A mayor in Houston, Texas, subpoenaed pastor's sermons. She's a lesbian mayor, and she has thought that there's some pastors speaking out against homosexuality, and so she is going after them. She's like, I want to see your sermons. I want to see your notes. And there's people in the States that are like, oh, that'll never happen. That'll never. It's happening. Okay? Where's our line? Because the culture will say, hey, you know what? Everybody's doing it. Everyone, you know, like, it's just being accepted. I mean, it's accepted in New Zealand, right? For the most part. 50 states in the United States, I think 30 of them now have adopted gay marriage is okay. So the tendency is like, well, you know, that's just what society's doing. It's just culture. It's a culture change, and we just got to go with it. No, we don't. Because God's word should be that standard. So we draw that line. And I've said, if they make it illegal to say that what the Bible says, that says homosexuality is a sin, it's not an alternative lifestyle, come visit me in jail. I guess I'll have a prison ministry because my job is not to be popular. It's not to go with the flow. My job is to be biblical, and that's what God's word says. Okay? So that's the line. Daniel purposed in his heart, I'm not going to defile myself. I'm here, and I can't change that, but I can still live differently. I can still keep my commitment unto the Lord. And that's what he does. Paul, in Acts 20, he's told as he's on his way to Jerusalem, hey, guess what? Chains, tribulations await you. And he's like, so? So what? Like, you're like weeping and all sad. He's like, I'm ready to like die. Like, doesn't matter. My life is nothing. None of these things move me. My question to you today would, is there anything that would move you? Is there anything that could happen in your life that would just rock you so much that you're just like, I just can't follow God anymore? Daniel says, hey, I'm in a foreign place. I'm away from my parents. I'm away from everything I know. I'm still going to follow God. I'm going to purpose in my heart. And that's what he does. It's a great Churchill quote. In 1941, he gave an address. It was short and to the point. His entire message was this: never give in. Never give in. Never, 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 never. In nothing great or small, large or petty, never give in except to convictions of honor and good sense. Never give in. And then he sat down. That was his address. Daniel was a teenager. And there's some teenagers in here today. He was away from everything he knew, his family. And when you're a teen, because I was one, I know it was a long time ago, but there's this thing called what? Peer pressure. Oh, you know, I got to fit in and everyone's doing it. It's tempting. And I see it all the time when students go off to uni. Oh, freedom, woo, get to do whatever I want. And many of them go wild. I did for a little bit, and there's no aim and no purpose. And here's the deal. If you aim at nothing, guess what? You are sure to hit it. Aim at nothing, for sure you will hit it. And while Daniel was this man of purpose, of resolve, of aim, guess what? He was also a man of prayer. Okay, we need to be able to draw that line in the sand. Hey, nothing's going to move me. But man, we also have to become people of prayer. If you want to be a woman or a man of purpose, of aim, you need to be a person of prayer. He requests this whole diet, and they put him on vegetables and water, and at the end of this time, he and his buds, they look better, and they're like, oh, wow, this is cool. Okay, we're going to jump, boom, chapter 2, and something happens. This king, Nebuchadnezzar, has this crazy dream. If you know anything about Daniel, if you've read the story, Nebuchadnezzar is given this dream, and he sees this image, and it's made up of, you know, it's this big statue made up of all these different metals, okay? And he wants to know what the interpretation is. He wants to know what it means. And so he calls all of his wise guys, and I'd say that loosely, his wise guys is, you know, magicians and people who supposedly understood these things, and says, hey, I had a dream and I want to know what it means. And they're like, well, tell us the dream, we'll tell you what it means. And they're like, no, that's too easy. You tell me what the dream is. They're like, we can't do that. Like, we can't do that. So Daniel and his guys have such a rapport because they have purpose in their heart, and they are hard workers, okay, they serve, and go call Daniel. Go call Daniel. And so we get to verse 14 of chapter 2, and we pick it up there. Then with counsel and wisdom, Daniel answered Arioch. Arioch was the captain of the king's guard who had gone out to kill the wise men of Babylon. Encouraging. He answered and said to Arioch, the king's captain, why is a decree from the king so urgent? Arioch made the decision known to Daniel. So Daniel went in and asked the king to give him time that he might tell the king the interpretation. Then Daniel went to his house and made the decision known, watch, to Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah. Okay, they're going by their Hebrew names. His companions, that they might seek mercies from the God of heaven concerning this secret, so that Daniel's companions might not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. So they hear, okay, Neb wants to know what the dream is. Like, the only way that we can, like, do this is to pray. God, tell us what the dream was. Tell us what the dream is so that we can, and then give us the interpretation. And they pray. If God doesn't come through in this situation, guess what? Daniel's going to lose his head. These guys are going to die. And so he prays. And we talk about prayer often. We know as believers we're supposed to pray. But how many of us, when we truly pray, actually believe that God is listening and is desiring to move on our behalf? I love this verse. It's one of my favorite verses. I love to talk about it often. Hebrews 11:6. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to him must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So to live by faith is to live a life that's pleasing to God, and we have to believe, you know what, when I pray, God will actually reward those who diligently seek him. And Daniel and his buddies believed that God speaks and would speak to them. Now, we know that God speaks to us by his word. He said he would. And we have that. But do we believe that God wants to speak to us personally? When we go to those times of prayer, many times we treat prayer like this. We go, we have this whole list of things. God, I'm in a pinch. I'm in a bind, and I need you to do this, 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 and this. And we know other people, they're in a pinch and a bind, and can you do this for Ryan, and can you do this for Trina? Can you do this for Dave? And Peter's got some crazy stuff going on in his life. Can you? And we list all these things, right? And that's not wrong. But then sometimes that's it. And we split. It's like, okay, I dump my list at your feet and I'm gone. And God's going like, this is to be a conversation. This is a two-way street. You can come and speak to me. I've made that possible. But I want to speak to you. And so they believe, God, we're going to pray. And we believe that you're going to speak to us. You're going to show us what this means. And you're going to give us a way out. God wants to speak. Do you believe that? I want to share just quickly a story. And some of you may have heard this in a nutshell before. I don't know. But I was driving home from church one night. And as clear as I've heard anything, just this voice. It wasn't audible. Something, you know, I was sensing in my head. I want you to go to such and such nightclub. I was like, what? I want you to, there's a big intersection coming up, and I want you to turn right, and I want you to go to this nightclub. And I literally have about 10 seconds to decide, am I going to go, or am I going to just go home? And I was, all right, let's go. And I turn as I'm driving there. Okay, what, Lord? Well, when you get to this parking lot, I want you to look for a red Saab 900S. Very specific. I'm like, all right. So I start weaving in, you know, the traffic. And this parking lot is packed. And I get there. And I can't find a parking place. All of a sudden, a car pulls out. And the one parking place I could pull in, I pull in. And guess what kind of car is sitting in front of me? A red Saab 900S. And I'm like, what? God, what are you, like, just pray for the people that came in that car. All right. So I began to pray. I don't know what to pray. And I'm getting just frustrated. I go, someone's going to walk by and see me praying and think I've lost my mind. You know, I'm like just out here in the car talking to myself. Call the loony bin. I get outside my door. There's a Subway. I go get a Coke. Come back. And the red Saab is gone. I'm like, what gives? So I'm driving home. Okay, Lord. Now this is, I'm just talking to God. And he's talking back. What do you want me to do? Pray for the people in that car every day for the next 30 days. 10-4, yes. Okay. So I go to work the next day, and my boss, he was a believer. He went to church with me in the same place. And he said, hey, how was church? I said, oh, it was good, but something happened on the way home. And I told him the story. He's like, whoa, that is a trip. And he used to talk like that. Whoa. I say, yeah, I don't know what it means, but I'm going to pray. I'm gone all day, and I come back. I worked for a car lot. I worked for a car dealership, and I ran errands and made deposits. I had to be gone all day. I was at another city, an hour away. I pull in that night at 5:30 into the parking lot, parking a car. Guess what car happens to be sitting there? A red Saab 900S. I'm like, what? You got to be kidding me. And as I get out of my car, a guy just comes bursting out of the building, shaking his finger at me. He's like, are you the guy that's supposed to pray for me every day for the next 30 days? I said, yeah. And he goes, don't. I'm like, sorry. Like, God trumps you. He told me to pray. He's like, I don't want you to pray. I don't want God. Turns out he was a son of a pastor, and he was totally living in rebellion, didn't want God in his life at all. Now, what's going on inside? A guy that we worked with, that we've been sharing with, he goes, hey, he's telling my boss. He goes, why would Mike have followed? Because I was with my friend Dave in that car last night. Why was he following me? He's like, he wasn't following you. He was on his way home. Why would he follow you to a nightclub? He goes, well, I know Dave's angry and doesn't want Mike to pray, but I don't know what's going on, but God's got my attention. My boss, Brian, and I, we committed to praying for this guy every day for the next 30 days. I went home one day. Didn't see Brian till Sunday. He goes, man, you'll never believe what happened. This is 30 days, 31 days later. I go, what? He goes, man, he was just dead yesterday. No one came in to buy a car, and I just sat with Jim, and I got to share with him and share the gospel, and he got saved. Go home, turn right. God wants to speak. Okay, now I'm not saying that that happens every day, but are we listening when God wants to lead? He wants to speak. And so they call on the Lord. Daniel was desperate and yet confident. So I'll ask you another question. Are you confident in your God tonight? Or there today? Or are you still thinking that there are things that are too hard for him to do? You have a person in your life that's just hard, and you've tried to tell them about Jesus, and they're just like, I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. And you're thinking, they'll never get saved. They'll never get saved. Why do I even bother? Why even pray? There's no hope. You are limiting what God can do. God wants to do what we think is impossible. He wants to blow our mind with his power and goodness. And guys, simply, sometimes we have not because we ask not. Sometimes we don't see things simply because we just... We don't ask. God, would you just continue? Would you save that person who is just so hard to you? And we just give up. We need to not give up. God wants to intervene on our behalf. 1 Chronicles 16:9. Some of you guys know this verse. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him. Daniel and his buddies, they were loyal. Daniel was a man of purpose and he was a man of prayer. He believed God could give them the answer and do what everyone else thought was impossible. But the third thing, and this is key, because I think many of us will pray, especially when we're in a pinch. And I think sometimes God allows us to get in a pinch simply because he wants to hear from us. But sometimes we see God move, we see God answer, and we see God intervene, and we forget to praise him. We forget to thank him. Okay, look at verse 19 through 23 of chapter 2. Then the secret was revealed to Daniel in a night vision. So Daniel blessed the God of heaven. They call and say, God, tell us what this dream was and give us the interpretation. And God reveals it to him. And so he blesses the God of heaven. He answered and said, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. He changes the time and the seasons. He removes kings, raises up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise, knowledge to those who have understanding. He reveals deep and secret things. He knows what is the darkness, and the light dwells with them. I thank you and praise you, O God of my fathers. You have given me wisdom and might, and have now made known to me what we asked of you, for you have made known to us the king's demand. They asked for God to reveal it, and God did. And Daniel realized only God could do that. And so he praised him. And now how often do we do this, or do we not do this? How often do we run to God because we have some issue, some problem, some need, and we're like pouring our heart out, God, you got to come through. And I know none of you have ever done this. God, if you will do this for me now, then I will fill in the blank. Anyone? God, if you will such and such, then I will. We try to like make this bargain with God. But man, when God shows up, do we praise him? Or are we like the story we find in Luke where 10 lepers are there and they get healed, but how many actually come back to give thanks to the Lord? One. It's like the 10 lepers all had the same need. Jesus heals them and 9 go away just like, the only way you could be cured of leprosy was that God do a miracle. And they've experienced it. And yet, 90% of them fail to acknowledge the miracle worker. We need to be people who pray. And then when God responds and answers, we need to be quick to give God the praise. And quick to acknowledge, wow, Lord, you're amazing. Thank you for working. Thank you for doing this. So Daniel was a man who purposed in his heart. He was a man who prayed, but he was also a man who praised. But he was still more than that. He was a man who also prophesied. Now, okay, stay with me, because some of you might be thinking, okay, here's where he's going to get a little weird. Prophecy. And from my experience in New Zealand, there's a big emphasis on this whole thing, prophecy. And the prophetic. And so you mention it, and people are like, oh, mystical. Okay? When we think prophecy, we think of someone who will tell us the future. What's going to happen? I heard a story. Two boys in intermediate were talking to each other, and this one says to the other one, can you tell the future with cards? And the other boy responds, said, oh, yeah, you better believe it. Every time I bring my report card home and show it to my mom, she tells me what's going to happen in the future when my dad gets home. Now, that's one aspect of it. Okay, but it can also mean this idea of prophecy, one who speaks for the Lord and on behalf of him. He speaks what God reveals to him or her. And that is what Daniel did. He told people what was going to happen in the future. I mean, if you go all the way through the book of Daniel, there's some ridiculous, and when I say ridiculous, like amazing prophecies about future events. Like literally to the day when Messiah would show up. To the day. I don't have time to walk you through Daniel's 70 weeks, but it's from the going forth of a command. Literally, when you do the math and add up, 173,880 days later is the day that Jesus rides in on a donkey and allowing people to say, Hosanna, Hosanna, to the day. Why do you think the wise men came? Because they knew. They were looking. They knew the timetable. And Jesus rebukes those who missed it. It's amazing. And there's other crazy, amazing, detailed prophecies going on in the book of Daniel. But he is telling them what God was telling him. And God, guys, wants us to be prophets. He wants us in the sense that we should speak to others what he tells us, what he shows us. And he prophesied. He spoke the word of the Lord. He's speaking those things which God had told and revealed him. Okay, God wants to speak to us. We already established that. But do we believe that? Do we really realize that? Because we speak to God, but he wants to speak back to us. The God of the universe, this is just a mind-blowing idea. The God of the universe actually wants to communicate to you and I. And he's given us his word, and he's given us his spirit. And if we will dial in and focus in, we can actually communicate with the Almighty. I mean, that we could just talk about that for hours. Yeah. That he's made a way for us to just run to him. We don't have to go through any priest or through some crazy, like, ritualistic, sacrificial system. Jesus, he made it possible. We can go. It's so cool. Now, many of us, I think, can't speak for the Lord because, you know why? We haven't heard from the Lord. We can't speak for the Lord because we haven't heard from the Lord. If you haven't heard from the Lord, you have nothing to say. Okay? Now, we're his ambassadors, the Bible says. 2 Corinthians 5:20. Listen, it says, now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. And God actually wants to use you and I to tell other people the good news about Jesus. I've lived overseas in several countries. I've seen several embassies and thought, man, that'd be such a cool job. Like, you're there on behalf of your country and you get to speak and do business on behalf of your country. Well, that's a job that God's given all of us. If we're a Christian, we're ambassadors. And everywhere we go, we get to speak on behalf of our country, our heavenly citizenship, heaven, Jesus. He's given us a job. And Daniel was used by God to bring the word of the Lord to the Babylonians and to serve the kings of the Babylonians, the most powerful man in the world. Daniel's going to stand before, and Daniel's going to reveal what the dream was. He's going to tell him what it means. And by the time you get to chapter 4, okay, in chapter 3, Nebuchadnezzar, like, loses his mind and is literally, like, on hands and knees for a time, acting like an animal. And then he comes to his senses, and there's all, I think, evidence for that he commits his life to God. In all honesty, that's what I see. That he comes to his senses, and I mean, he just worships and praises. Okay? And God used Daniel to do that. God used Daniel to bring the most powerful man on the planet to himself. That's amazing. Daniel purposed in his heart, he wouldn't defile himself. He prayed to God to do the impossible. When God showed up and did it, he praised him. And then, as God revealed to him things, he spoke. He prophesied for him. And you know what happened? Daniel was promoted. Daniel was promoted. Keep going a little bit further in chapter 2. We get to verse 46 through 49. Like I said, this is just highlights, bits and pieces. But verse 46. Then King Nebuchadnezzar, after he's had this whole dream explained and what it means, fell on his face. That had to hurt. Prostrate before Daniel and commanded that they should present an offering and incense to him. The king answered Daniel and said, "Truly, your God is the God of gods." This is the most powerful man on the planet. A man given over to pagan gods and idolatry. The Lord of kings and the revealer of secrets, since you could reveal the secret. Then the king promoted Daniel and gave him many great gifts and made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon and chief administrator over all the wise men of Babylon. Also, Daniel petitioned the king. He set Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego over the affairs of the province of Babylon. But Daniel sat in the gate of the king. See, God looked down on Daniel and he saw a man, a young boy who was dedicated, who was loyal, who had purpose in his heart. And he raised him up and he promoted Daniel. Why? Because Daniel is someone great? No. Okay, because God is good. And God is looking for people who will purpose in their heart to follow him and not defile themselves with the world. He's looking for people who will pray and believe that he's an answerer of prayer. He's looking for people who, when he answers, will give him praise. And he's looking for people that he can speak to and that will speak what they are spoken to by him to those around. So in concluding today, we've seen, just in a nutshell, this guy, Daniel, he's purpose in his heart. He's praised with confidence. He praises God and gives him thanks. He prophesies or he speaks the word. And then we see God show up and promote him. And as we close today, I just want to ask you a few questions. You don't have to, don't answer out loud. This is just, okay, just I want you to think about these. Have you purpose in your heart to follow God no matter what? To not be defiled by the things of the world? That was Daniel's heart. Another question. When you pray, now I'll say this, when we pray, do we really believe there's nothing too hard for him? Do we believe that? It's one thing to say it in our head and acknowledge it, but it's another thing for it to go from here to here. Sometimes that's the hardest distance, that 18 inches or whatever it is in centis, 40 centimeters. Sometimes that's the hardest distance to cross. Do we allow God when we're praying to speak back to us? Do we give him the time? I mean, I'm just saying, do we make time for that to happen? Or do we just rush off our list? All right, thanks, God. See ya. Gotta go. And imagine if you had a relationship with your spouse that way. It's just one-sided. I'm going to say everything and then see ya. There's like no interaction. Wouldn't go that well. And are we people that are thankful? Do we praise God for the things that he does do on our behalf? When we pray and we see him work, do we go, "Wow, God, thank you. You came through. Wow, I just want to be the grateful one." That 10%. We're talking about the lepers. Another question, are we speaking forth the things that he reveals to us? Are we speaking those things? Are we telling others the things that God is telling us? Are we telling others about him? Guys, I believe if we do that, if we emulate these things that, made Daniel this man of purpose, this man of character, you know what? God will promote us. Now, what does that mean? I'm not exactly sure what it means for each one of us, but God will put us, I believe, in more strategic places and opportunities for service. And there's a spiritual principle that if you're faithful in, little things, guess what? He'll give you more. So if he asks you to do something, the best response is to do it and then allow God to open up more doors of opportunity and to walk through those things. See, I want all that God has for me. And I want to see all of you, all of us, walk in, all that God has for us. And I don't claim to know what that is for each one of you. If you're curious, well, what does God want for me? You know what? I'd love to talk to you and we can begin to pray. What does that mean? What does that look like? It's different for all of us, but God wants to use each one of us. But we have to be men and women of purpose and men and women of character. And that's what we see in Daniel. It's just a snapshot, just some highlights. I mean, there's if you go through the book of Daniel, there's prophecies and there's so many other things that we can say about this guy. This is just a little bit here in the beginning. But hopefully it encourages us this week, man. You know, we can walk out of here, Lord, I want a purpose in my heart. Not, you know, that I'm not going to cross the line in these things. I'm not going to be moved. I just want to be a person of prayer and I want to give you praise. I want to prophesy and speak those things forth. And then I'm going to allow you to raise me up and allow you to put me where you want me to be. It's a great way to live. And Daniel, as a young teen, is doing it in a hostile environment. Hostile environment. And he's far from home, far from his family. He's had to learn another language, another culture. He's thriving. Absolutely thriving. And that's what God wants for each one of us. Let's pray. Thank you for listening to this Bible study from Calvary Chapel, Whangarei. We hope you are blessed and encouraged in your walk with the Lord. To find out more information about our church, please visit www.calvaryfongare.co.nz. God bless you as you seek to follow Him.